We are Sports 56, WHBQ Memphis, and W253 DF Memphis, with Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus. Weekday afternoons from 3 to 6.
4.9-liter V8, 0 to 60, and I'm about to find out.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Tito's Vodka. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. Happy Friday, everybody. It's a big weekend, man. We got NBA Finals tonight. Do you know we got a dead gum Saturday Finals game next week?
Yeah.
I'm fired up, man.
Do you know I got a guest for you, Johnny?
No, who you got?
Alan Moses.
No way.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. We got the Belmont folks.
Yeah.
Did y'all realize that?
Tomorrow?
No, wait, no. Preakness.
Yeah, no,
wait,
it's the Belmont.
What's New York? Belmont.
It's the Belmont, you're right.
You know what? I love gambling on them ponies, and I forgot about my good buddy Alan Nosey. How could I forget, Alan? How come? Because I got a small brain, and the Dead Gum Codes Dispensary in Steele, Missouri, 60 minutes from Memphis, kind of got me. Go to CodesDispensary.com. All you have to do is be 21 years or older. Head on up there. Show your driver's license. Bing, bang, boom. Recreational marijuana can be your supreme cannabis at CodesDispensary.com in Steele, Missouri, closest recreational cannabis dispensary from Memphis, Tennessee, period, end discussion. You could start your show and leave at 11. You will be all the way back home by the time my show ends, and you can listen to me all the way because we're at where? Hub 901,
that's correct.
Hub 901, check it out. Alan Nosey, we got ponies running all over the place. What are we thinking, baby boy? How you doing?
Hey, Johnny Radio, how are you doing?
Blessed beyond belief. You know what, man? I can't believe I almost forgot about the ponies. I got so much stuff going on. I've been looking at college baseball and NFL trades, NBA finals. We got that hockey thing going, man. Like,
and college football never ends now.
No. No, it doesn't, because there's more stories. You had Nick Saban at Congress this weekend and all kinds of stuff.
I mean, he's got he needs to, I guess he's still mad about Hugh Freeze beating him 2 years in a row. I don't know what, he won't leave the Rebels alone.
Yeah, he got a lot of shots in on old Luke and Trinidad, and he used them a lot, didn't he? Now, I do have a question for you. We have right here is a chance for two champions to go against each other. We're definitely not going to have the triple crown. But, man, when you have one win the Kentucky Derby, you have one win the Preakness, and now both are running, what does that do for this?
Well, the Preakness winner is not in there.
What?
Uh-uh.
Why?
Well, he opted not to go.
But he won.
So I'm really not sure why the Preakness winner is not in there, but I'm trying to even think. But he's not.
That's insane to me.
When you talk about, you kind of forgot about this. It has been a very strange Triple Crown season. I mean, everybody gets fired up for the Kentucky Derby because it's the Kentucky Derby. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the most famous race.
It's a party,
And it's a party, and all the world. Well, then the Preakness, of course, they had to move over to Laurel Park because they're rebuilding Pimlico. So they didn't have the infield open. It kind of lost some of the luster of the Preakness. Well, now in the third leg of the Triple Crown, the Belmont Stakes, which is typically ran at Belmont Park in New York City, kind of on Long Island, it's been moved because they're reworking Belmont Park to upstate New York to Saratoga Springs, to Saratoga Racecourse. And this is the second or third year in a row, and I know it's at least the second, that they've ran it up there. So two of the three Triple Crown races this year have not been ran on their home tracks. So it has kind of, and you're going to probably, have the third different winner of the three Triple Crown races. So I'm hoping next year.
Well, you're saying that Renegade, didn't they win the... No, that was the Kentucky Derby runner-up. So Golden Tempo won it, right?
That's right. Golden Tempo.
And Golden Tempo is coming in fresh because Golden Tempo did not run in the Preakness.
That's right. They opted to skip the Preakness. And that's another thing that I think is going to be addressed is, typically you have the Derby, then 2 weeks later the Preakness, then 3 weeks later the Belmont. Well, with the training style and the these horses just aren't as tough as they were, you know, 50 and 60 years ago, or even 100 years ago. I think you're going to see them spread out the Triple Crown a little bit more. I wouldn't be opposed to having, you know, one of them run the Kentucky Derby first Saturday in May, the Preakness the first Saturday in June,
give and a month off,
finish up the Belmont on the 4th of July.
Ooh, I
you
like
know,
that.
Or something like that, you know, that to give it, because you're just not, this is the second year in a row we've seen the Derby winner not run back in 2 weeks to run in the Preakness, and there was nothing wrong with the horse. I mean, it, you know, the ownership and the trainers just decided that they didn't want to, you know, run, so it's taken a lot of, you know, luster out of it. Plus, another deal, if you'd had a Triple Crown winner this year, last year, there would be some asterisks by it because of the running at Belmont, because the Belmont, the name of that race is, they call it the test of a champion,
because
it typically ran for a mile and a half. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the longest race. And there's very few horse races in the country. I mean, just maybe a novelty race here that it goes a mile and a half on the dirt. There's some mile and a half turf races, but, you know, that race, because of the configuration of Saratoga Racecourse, they've had to cut it back to a mile and a quarter. So it's the same distance as the Kentucky Derby. So everything is kind of out of kilter, and hopefully we'll be able to get everything back where it should be for a Triple Crown. And as I say, I'm not opposed to them spreading these races out a little bit now, since it's obvious a lot of these, especially wealthier owners, are going to skip the Preakness. It may be good, you know, spread it out a little bit more and get people really excited about the Triple Crown again.
And this year, though, being in Sarasota, so is that track is not a mile and a half then. So what is that, a mile and a quarter?
It's I think it's maybe actually a mile and an eighth track, but or a mile and a 16th track, but they're going to run the race at a mile and a quarter. So it's going to kind of start and come past the finish line twice. But it's going to, it doesn't really configure to start at a mile and a half. Now, the circumference of Belmont Park is a mile and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say most tracks, like Oaklawn Park is a flat mile, Churchill Downs is a flat mile, and then you've got smaller bullring tracks. But most tracks are around a mile. Some may be a little bit further. But that's where, you know, they couldn't run at a mile and a half. So I'd say there would be asterisks if you had a Triple Crown winner while you're running it at Saratoga, because the distance is definitely different.
Right now, though, with this mile and a quarter race, you got two fresh horses, because Renegade, the Derby runner-up, didn't they skip the Preakness as well as Golden Tempo?
Yes.
Now, with both of these, I mean, we've seen Golden Tempo, you know, be able to beat Renegade. That was an awesome race. I'm kind of curious, is there somebody that you like actually better than Renegade and Golden Tempo? Because the odds, well, you know, 9-2 and 2-1 ain't all that great.
Yeah. A horse that I like that had a brutal trip, and it was one that I gave out in the Derby, but he had such a horrible trip in the Derby, is Commandment. And he's at 6-1. He's actually my two top choices. There's 9 head in this race, so it's not like you're going to have these huge payouts like you get in the Derby. Renegade and Commandment are my two top choices. Of course, Renegade's 2-1. He's the winner of the Arkansas Derby. Of course, I always kind of have a special spot for Arkansas horses, because that's one of my home tracks over there. But I do think he's a really talented colt. But Commandment is very talented, too. If you look at his numbers, speed figures, and you're going to get 6-1. You got John Velasquez riding, an old journeyman rider, has ridden, I don't know, tell him how many races he's won at Saratoga. So Renegade and Commandment are my two top selections on there. So you got a 2-1 and a 6-1.
What about,
and then if you,
I was going to say, I had a texter hit me up and say he wants to know about Chief Wallaby.
Yeah, I've got, so I did my top 5 horses for the Superfecta boxes, and Chief Wallaby at 3-1, Belmont trained. He was kind of a wise guy horse going into the Derby and didn't run. I mean, I think everybody in that 4th, 5th in there. I don't have the form right in front of me, but you know, he's definitely, you know, you can't count Bill Mott out. I mean, Bill Mott went into the Hall of Fame in his early 40s. I mean, he's not going to run a horse just to run a horse. So, you know, it would not surprise me if he jumps up there and he's 3-1. You know, he's going to be short priced, but it would not surprise me at all if Chief Wallaby were to run. And then a horse that probably the longest odds of a horse that I like in there that could maybe steal this race or would be interesting is going to be a Power Shift at 12-1. And there, I've got him. The way I've got him ranked right now is I've got Renegade, Commandment, Power Shift, Golden Tempo, and Chief Wallaby. And the bottom three you could put in any order. I think the top two, Renegade and Commandment, either one of them could win. I like Golden Tempo. I'm not going to be upset if Cherie wins it, but I'm, you know, I think it's going to be a little tough. If Renegade runs his race, he's going to be very, very, very tough. But Commandment got into trouble last time, and if he can stay out of trouble, which in a nine-horse field, you know, you can get in trouble in a three-horse field, but in a nine-horse field, he may have a little better chance to get there. So that's probably, I'll watch the odds and see how they go. I don't think we'll probably get 6-1 on Commandment, but those are my top two, Renegade and Commandment.
Man, one other quick question, because this is just weird. You mentioned something and had me thinking. You said horses 50 years ago and 100 years ago were stronger. Is it because of the way they're being bred? Like, what? Why is it that, you know, there hadn't been another Secretariat?
I think some of it is breeding. You know, sometimes everybody's like, well, we want to breed the fastest horse to the fastest mare, and you get speed on speed, and you get soundness issues. I mean, to give you an example, you can go back and look. They used to run a race the Saturday before the Kentucky Derby called the Derby Trial. That was, now it's called the Pat Day Mile, which was like a flat mile race, which is a one turn race. And there used to be horses that would run in that race on Saturday and then turn around and run the Kentucky Derby on a week's rest. And you actually used to have horses that would run between the Preakness and the Belmont. I mean, these horses, I think training was a different deal. Soundness is definitely an issue. They're given so much for these horses when they're young. I mean, I think, what was it, Renegade sold for $950,000. I mean, there's so much money that's being given that,
They're almost
babying these horses too much. You know, it's like they keep them in bubble wrap. But I do think that breeding, we've bred some of the soundness out of the horses. There's no question about that. I mean, Unbridled Song was a very, very fast racehorse, but he was a very, very unsound racehorse. But he produced a lot of offspring that were fast and won a lot of races, but he had a lot of unsound horses that didn't stick around very long. And I even think the mares, the Unbridled Song mares, even carried that trait over. So when I go to a sale, I try to look and get a little out of the Unbridled Song area because they are very, very fast, but they were very, very unsound. But I do think training and breeding have definitely got something to do with it.
I also think it still always is going to also have to do with it. It always comes back to one thing, money. And if you got a horse that's worth $50 million, why go out there and risk racing him another 10, 15 times when you can go to get the stud fees and make all your bread back? I think that has something to do with it as well. But I'm just a layman.
I mean, you're correct because we don't see horses running, you know, a really good horse run past his 3-year-old or even 4-year-old year. I mean, journalism is running in the Met Mile on Saturday, and he's a 4-year-old. He's going to make a very, very nice day. And, you know, I think it would help to run some of these horses that are going to stud a little longer. I think, with some foundation in them. But you're right. I mean, you know, if you've got a Derby winner that's royally bred and you've got a farm offering you $50 million or 100 million. I mean, you know, you get different numbers all the time. I mean, it is hard to race them when you're, like, you know, looking at a big payday.
Facts.
So that is a big part, a very, very big part of it.
Well, Alan, I appreciate you joining me all race season for the three Triple Crown races. I wish you nothing but luck this week. Can you give us your 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 one more time?
So we're going to go with Renegade, Commandment, Power Shift, Golden Tempo, and Chief Wallaby. And I will be watching from the historic Oxford Square from the library. They'll have the race on. Ole Miss is in the super regional playing Alabama Polytech University this weekend. They start tonight. And what you need to do is for the Ole Miss LSU showdown, y'all need to do a remote from the square.
I'm in. Let's do it.
Let's just go set up camp about Wednesday afternoon. We'll just post up at the library till it's time to go to the Grove.
You talk to him this weekend, set it up, and I'm in, man.
We got to get Mikey Brewer on board.
Man, I can do this. Don't you worry about it. Alan, be blessed, my friend.
All right, talk to you later.
That's my homie, Alan Nosey. We're going to take a baby timeout. I come back. I got Jordan Evans. We're talking hoops. The last segment of the day, we got T-Money Uncle Brasky with our bets, and then we're closing out a beautiful Friday right here on Sports 56 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now, this is one of those things. When things get too heavy, just call me Helium.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Tito's Vodka. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. It is a beautiful Friday here in the Mid-South. And I'm going to tell you right now, all my people out there who have businesses, business owners, my man Tom Whitley, the owner of EnviroMaster. If you don't know what EnviroMaster is, it's a complete disease and odor prevention company. They go in there and take care of the business to protect your brand. You don't want germs and viruses and odors to kill your business. They do so many things for, like, so many different companies, and they have everything for you. I mean, they do everything from the tile and the grout deep cleaning. They do window cleaning. They do hand hygiene programs, paper management programs, electrostatic spraying services, Micromax floor cleaning services. I'm telling you, they got more products than you can shake a stick at, and this is great for any restaurant. School, daycare, warehouse, office, healthcare, gym, government building, commercial kitchens, automotive, you name it, they can help kill the germs that can kill your business. Enviro-master.com, or you can call even the owner. My man is so nice, Tom Whitley. He's like, give him my cell phone number, bro. 901-356-8282. That's 901-356-8282. Let EnviroMaster protect your brand, baby. Now, we got a busy, busy night. Did you know, like, I got a date night with Chas and the NBA Finals is going?
What time are you going, about 5:30?
Man, we're going to be going real early,
six.
Bro. Real, real, real early. I forgot all the promises that I've made this week.
Rush hour.
I didn't look at my schedule. Good thing I'll be out of here at 3 o'clock.
I said, what you going, to Napa Cafe?
Yeah, probably. It's down the street. Great idea. Thank you, Jay. I appreciate that. But we got a big game tonight, man. Knicks and the Spurs. You know the Knicks took care of game one. It was such an impressive back-and-forth game. The Knicks scared me because, you know, my largest bet was the very first quarter. I had Spurs minus one in the first quarter, Spurs minus 2.5 in the first quarter, and Knicks came out there and punched them, and then the Spurs came back and punched them right in the face. Good second quarter, third quarter. Who came out punching? It was the Spurs. They get up by 14 points. When they went to that commercial break, the Spurs looked like they had won the game on the sidelines. they were all hooping and hollering and high-fiving and screaming, yeah! And you look over at my man, and Mike Brown's over there, calm, cool, and collected, Cat, OG, JB, Hart. Everybody is sitting out there, and they're just talking about executing. And when they came back from that timeout, those dead gum Spurs did not look like the same Spurs, and those Knicks didn't look like the same Knicks. Jordan Evans is joining me right now. Jordan, I got to know something. First and foremost, who do you have in the series?
So, I went in saying Knicks in seven.
And I'm like her even more.
Stick with Knicks in seven. Just because the Spurs, even though they have completely blown out of the water their expectations this season in this playoffs, for them to even be in the finals in Wimby's first run is wild.
It is wild. I mean, like, some of the things that he did, like, come down and step into that one, what, half-court shot and bury that three. The one where he hit was about 35 feet, and when he just stepped up and they were down three. And I'm like, no, yes!
Him went on the trail threes when he's leaking the one, man. And they catch him on the trail.
It's the easiest three there is, baby.
Yeah, he knocking those down. Now, you shoot, those are the ones you definitely don't want to restrict them on.
And the thing is like, yeah, he is an absolute freak, and I want to see him do those step-in threes and everything, but I don't want him out there dribbling, dribble, dribble, dribble in clutch time. I was going to say, that's why I would have, instead of having Fox on the floor, I would have had Harper. What do you think about that, Jordan?
I was so shocked to see that he only played 3 minutes in the fourth quarter.
Man, how is it when that kid was playing out of his freaking mind, too? That's the thing that just still confuses me. You see... Like, Mitch Johnson is a young coach.
FanDuel was at it again.
First finals. What?
FanDuel was at it again.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's been saying that.
It happens to veterans, though. I can go all the way back to the 98 East Finals, and Larry Bird forgot to put Jalen Rose back in the game.
That's a great point.
And Jalen Rose was cooking. But it and then the pressure of being in the finals and just the chess match you locked in. I mean, it's an error. It's an egregious error. But it happens.
I call Karl Anthony Towns the best thespian in the NBA because he is so sassy. He would be a great theater teacher, I think. He'd be a great actor. He's hilarious. But, man, did you expect Cat to be able to go out there and get around Wimby as easy as he was?
I was shocked to see that he was blown by Wimby so fast that Wimby could even get – Wimby got him one good time, then Cat – adjusted off of that.
I was so impressed with Cat. And again, this is a guy who I've always said sits out on the outside and shoots way too many dead gum three-pointers for being 7 feet and athletic as he is. But my man only shot two that night. I don't think he made any of them. But the thing was, is he went to the rack 13 times, like into the paint and at Wimby. I love seeing Karl Anthony Towns. Plus, it opened up an opportunity even for him to have four assists because there was a few driving kicks, and he kicks it out, and all of a sudden, golly, who was it that finally hit a dead? Oh, Landry Shamet was the beneficiary of just sitting there like, wide the freak open? Like, dude, I understand Cat's been blowing by him and everything, but when you get a wide open three-pointer and you're an NBA player, you're knocking that junk down. And that's just basically what the Knicks did. They hit the shots when it mattered. And the Spurs didn't. Do you think either, like, do you think both teams will play as bad, I think, offensively as we saw in game one? Only a combined, what, 200 points?
Mm-hmm.
Way under the under. The under was, what, 219 and a half, 218, 219? 217. Yeah. Went way, way under. Do you expect the offenses to be more efficient tonight?
I do. I think it was mostly rust. They were just, like, they were trying to fill out the game.
10 dead gum days off, wasn't it?
For the Knicks, yeah.
Yeah, 9-10. That's a long time to be sitting and chilling. That's why I love the first quarter with the Spurs, because I figured there was going to be a little rust. Mm-hmm. The Young Bucks have been playing in a war with OKC, with Minnesota, with Portland. But dead gummit, man. The way the Knicks beat you lately, like,
they lull you to sleep.
And then they will step on your throat in the second half. And that's what they've been doing in teams. I still can't believe what I saw game one against Cleveland, 22-point lead in the second half. And Cleveland couldn't close it out, wouldn't make any adjustments, and James Harden got worked by JB so bad it was not funny.
I told you what it was. The Knicks is the father. taking the son out to the court.
Yeah, let him get a little bit.
Letting them think he killing them. And then, all right, now it's time to
and
step
now
it
dad's
up.
Going to step mm-hmm. it up and beat the brakes off you.
That's dangerous with this Spurs team. Because, like, yeah, what the Spurs need to do, they need to find a play, and this will be their, I'm going to throw some NFL, this will be their tush push. Whenever they do that U-turn, when they see Wimby in there, they need to trap that U-turn
trap
every time.
The U-turn. I was thinking the same thing on that.
I also think they're going to have to figure out a little bit. I know how young this Spurs team is.
But that's the thing.
But again, I don't know if I can play Wimby 38 minutes.
That's the thing.
And it's terrible to have to put him on the bench for a while, but I need him in the fourth quarter fresh.
But that's the thing. This is a nine-man rotation team.
Yeah.
They starting five as young, but when you look at their bench, when you got Biyombo, Olynyk, and Plumlee on your bench,
see Biyombo play.
That's an old bench. Biyombo blocked that shot that Jeremy did try to foul him.
He might need to play more just to kind of counter and offset some of that physicality that Mitchell Robinson throwing back too. So
I mean, hell, Keldon Johnson didn't even get 10 minutes in game one.
You got to find space for him, which that'll get corrected tonight too.
But there's no reason there should be three centers on the bench just sitting there watching.
Chilling.
The game.
I'm with you on that one.
When they are already down size-wise anyway,
They're basically starting four guards and a 7'5".
There you go.
Center.
They play small ball very well with Wimby off the court.
It's kind of like how Golden State was constructed. You know what I'm saying? When they would pull Bogut or whoever they had, Kevon Looney. Zaza Pachulia, whenever they pull one of them off, and then they go with Iggy, Dre, Steph Clay, and Sean Livingston. It's kind of the same, but there's like no definitive position, but they all defend collectively and together. The Spurs can do that too, but it's just they got the biggest freak of nature of all time.
But the one thing is, I still look at game one, and the biggest stat that I saw is like only 16 assists for the Spurs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You cannot play the New York Knicks. They're going to play in the half court. They are the better half court team.
Their Spurs identity wasn't in that first game. They weren't doing the extra pass.
Mm-mm.
You know, everybody was trying to make their offense happen for them instead of making the offense happen.
It was like everybody's first.
I think Sean Penny, when he came out there in the beginning of the game and was knocking shots left and right, and then all of a sudden he went from the hottest thing since sliced bread
he
was cold as all get out, is what I'm saying, though. But, like, remember what he knocked down, like, what?
Five
in the first half, and I don't think he hit one.
After that at all.
Yeah, that girl knows. I knew he didn't do jack in the second half.
Even as a starter, Sean Penny is a role player. He's a 3-and-D player.
I do. I agree.
But he don't need to be guarding Brunson.
No.
He played defense.
I don't
on his
know why you
well.
Don't put the don't big physical kid, Brunson. Just Dylan Harper, and have him check his big.
I mean, we love two-way players and guys that can defend. And
I mean, Harper's backs. What, 6'6", 220, you'd say? Yeah,
something like that.
Thick, tough.
I think he's not
even
think
so. He's thick, dog.
No, he was scaring him in the first quarter. When Brunson first got hurt, Dylan Harper was really going at him. He had 10 points in the first quarter.
He's a big, thick kid.
Yeah, he might be.
Those legs ain't thick, man.
I mean, he's really built like his dad. So.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Look it up, because now I'm kind of curious. Because, I mean, I'm telling you right now, you got 6'5", 6'6", 220, and you got a young buck, like, I mean, not a young buck, but you got a veteran in Jalen Brunson, who's been basically going 30 points a night, playing 40 minutes.
They got to keep going at him on defense, too. Wear his legs down as well. You know what I'm saying? Make him have to guard. And that'll affect if Fox start making shots, if Dylan come out cooking the same way, Steph get back to being Steph like he liked to be. It'll take care of itself, too.
And to be honest,
Castle needs to get to the rack more.
To be honest.
Like he did in Oklahoma City, like he was taking it to task.
In this game, they need to force Cat's usage to go up. When you got Cat trying to run your offense and how fast and agile he plays, that takes a toll on him.
Yeah, it does.
Then he got to go back down the court. If it's a missed shot on him or if it's a missed shot on somebody else and he's out of position, and this is a great transitional offense with the Spurs team, he going to be winded.
Very good point. 6'6", 215, John.
6'6", 215?
Yeah.
I was close.
Yeah, I mean, I get it out.
Again, that's a full-grown-ass man right there, and I know he's just a kid and everything, and I know he's young, and Rutgers is looking at him right now going, where was this?
He's 20, but he played like he's 29.
Yeah, he is right now.
Like, he is unfazed by all of this, dog.
I also think that OG really is just going to – I think that this is just the beginning.
He's still the X Factor.
I think he, going forward, is going to be – like, if the Knicks win this, I think he could be that, like you said, he is the X factor. If he can continue to shoot well from the 3-point line, defend, do everything that he's doing.
He was a boss dog in the fourth the other night.
Yeah,
though.
It's between him and Mikhail for me.
Dude, by the way, though, is Josh Hart going to let anybody else get a rebound?
No. I saw on Twitter that he was in conversation with Bill Russell as the only people to have 15 plus rebounds and an assist he had all time. Just him and Bill Russell.
You know, the historian in me is very pleased by this.
Yes, I bet.
But that just shows you, like I said, he had a game where he was in foul trouble with 5 fouls in the last series.
John,
he
took 25 and 26, I'm just saying.
He took 21 shots. This last game, he had 4 fouls.
Yeah.
But he only took 5. In this series, he's not trying to score. Yeah. He's trying to do the intangible.
He's doing the ski mask work.
He's
right,
all of the dirty
stuff. You take his 15 rebounds away from him, and Wemby was in position for a lot of those rebounds.
And we can't forget his 6 assists either.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That was a big part of getting other guys involved. Swing here, extra pass, whatever the case. It's good. This is why you look at that clip of Jalen Brunson at the bowling alley when they later showed them that Josh Hart was traded to the Knicks and he was that excited. He knew what he was getting. These people won championships together.
Yeah, no kidding. And I know. Did y'all see the clip, though, of Josh Hart talking about the first time he met JB? And he's like, I hated him. I couldn't.
Pretentious.
Yeah, pretentious. Think he's all that. And then he ends up loving him. And now look where they're at. That's just a trip. Also, just to seeing Rick Brunson, like, work with his son.
Mike Brown said that Rick was the one that got them in order in game one. Mm-hmm. He told Mike Brown to shut the hell up, told everybody else to shut the hell up, stop complaining, go guard somebody. Same thing that Cat was feeding them in the timeout. That was an extension of Rick Brunson that night.
I love it. I love talking Knicks basketball because, man, I ain't ever been a Knicks fan, really, to be honest with you. But there is just something about this year's team and the amount of money I've made on this win streak on the New York Knicks, baby. We're going to take a little baby timeout, but I wanted to tell y'all, this is kind of important, man. Where are you watching the game tonight? Y'all know the Owner's Box Sports Bar and Grill? They have all their burgers are Wagyu. The best burgers I've ever had in my life are at the Owner's Box right there off of Highway 70 in Lakeland's Town Square. They got 24 beers on tap. They got a full bar. You know they got Tito's coming out. The Frizzame. The food is straight fire. A beautiful patio. And more TVs than any place I've ever seen. And the only TV I've ever seen bigger than the one they have at the Owner's Box. You remember that, giant?
Yeah.
Like, don't even make sense. It's a whole wall. And it is one television. The dudes look as big as me when I'm watching it. Like,
yeah, IMAX-like.
It made me think about when I was a kid, I had that little bitty like TV that was black and white on that little Walkman-looking thing, you know, and I'd be like in my bed watching this crazy little man.
You know, watching Jack Tripp on the black and white.
Now I'm full-fledged, dude, live people. Man, that's only at the Owner's Box Sports Bar and Grill. Again, wall-to-wall TVs, 24 taps, your favorite beers. They got happy hour 3 to 6 Monday through Friday, music bingo Tuesdays, upscale menu, patio seating, daily specials. It's all in Lakeland's Town Square at the Owner's Box. Back in two shakes, T-Money and Brasky, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Start your day with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10, right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
But you got to be willing to take the hit and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that and that ain't you. You're better than that.
Now back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Tito's Vodka. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. Oh, my goodness. I feel pretty good. We got baseball college baseball. Everybody's fighting for Omaha, NBA Finals. Date night with my girl, Chas. By the way, if you need to sell your house, also ChastityHardin.com. ChastityHardin.com. She's such a sweet little thing. Telling you. She's also very patient, so if she can deal with me, I promise you she can deal with you. T-Money is somebody who luckily puts up with me, but not like Chaz has to. We just have fun and drink and smoke left-handed cigarettes. Money, how is life treating you?
Man, I couldn't be better, Johnny. You know, we're kind of recovering a little bit from last week's run. You know, we went from Gulf Shores for 5 days right into the Memphis Italian Fest for 4 days. So we're recovering a little bit, Johnny, but it's the weekend, it's a Friday, and we're back at it, my friend. I promise you that. You can't hold a player down for too long.
No, you cannot, by the way. And just speaking of player, I just wanted to ask you a weird question. I know you know that I play pickleball.
Correct.
Have you ever played?
I have played. When I was at Overton High School in 1999, Coach Davis had us playing. I took individual sports in gym, and pickleball was one of the games. So I learned pickleball way back in about 1999.
Wow.
And we had, which was fun because we had a little tournament, like a bracket tournament, and me and Ziggy made the finals. Ziggy was a basketball player. We made the finals. Sorry, Ziggy, I beat him.
And shout then out to Ziggy. I remember Ziggy.
Yeah, you know, remember Ziggy, don't you, Jay? And so I beat Ziggy, and he didn't like that. So I had to play Coach Davis in the championship, or after you beat the kids. And Coach Davis smoked me. I couldn't get there with them. So, but I have played pickleball. I have played pickleball, and I know the rules and everything. It's a fun game.
No, I love it. I love it. But I would tell you, there's a place that took pickleball to another level. It's Bangers Pickleball. It's down in South Haven. I went down there, did a remote. I've been down there to play. It is so badass. They have 5 indoor courts. They have a private court. They have 1 restaurant, 3 bars. They have 5 outdoor courts. They have a gazebos. They have tons of gazebos. They have ping pong. They have cornholio. They have literally everything. And plus this place, they got a free, absolutely free. If you don't know how to play, you can go over there and take Bangers 101 class. Bing, bang, boom. They'll teach you how to, like, play the game. And it is just it's a lot of fun. And the other things they're doing, like, this summer, if you don't even play pickleball, they got trivia nights. They got wine and whiskey tastings. And, heck, mom and dad, are you listening? If you got a kid age 5 to 13, they got a Bangers summer camp that's coming up. It's June 15th through the 19th. Then they have another one from the 22nd to the 26th, the Crazy Court Week, the 13th through the 17th called Future Bangers, and then the 20th through the 24th, it's Battle for the Paddle Championship.
It's
dude, 9 to noon, and you're getting a bunch of kids off their gaming consoles and getting them out there and getting a little exercise and teaching them a little hand-eye coordination. The other thing is for old people like me who like to party, they do dink after dark. 8 p.m. to midnight, Thursday through Saturday, 8 p.m. to close, Sunday through Wednesday. Late summer night play. It is a lot of fun. Bangers Pickleball. Go to bangerspickleball.net. Get you a membership. You don't have to have a membership, but they do have them. Bangers. Let's bang. Oh, I've always
I like that. Battle for the paddle.
Battle for the paddle.
And then a little dink after dark. I mean, they are really doing it down there, aren't they? They got some good, I like it, good play on words.
I do. I also say let's bang, and then let's bang it, Bangers, and then also say please dink responsibly because they got 3 bars. No, now, we've been having a lot of fun with a lot of BS that's been going on because, like, again, college baseball, I've enjoyed it. I like pro baseball. I've been watching, like, Shohei Ohtani the other night. You know, reach base 5 times. And
what about that bomb Keikel Marte?
Oh, dude.
Hit last night. Did you see that bomb
he
hit?
Walk off. Walking that junt off. I know one thing.
Man, that was a bomb.
Yeah, it hurt me because I thought.
Oh, were you on the other side?
Yes.
Oh, no. Keikel Marte was about 0 for 4, and he hits one about 4:30 into the
upper deck up there.
Yeah, that
to win it, walk it off.
I should have known Dodgers minus 140 was too easy, and they were going to steal money from me after what the Dodgers had. What, 16 hits the night before, scoring 7 runs. Correct. And shutting them out with Shohei. I should have known better. Mm-hmm. That's like, that's where I should have been like, John, you went to the well last night, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go back to the same damn well.
That's how you gamble, Johnny. I mean, when you're a gambling fool like yourself, and you're usually right, you just went with your stomach.
Yeah.
So you win some, you lose some, but you battle back. You got to weather the storm, as R. Dub used to tell me a long time ago. Weather the storm. Weather the storm.
I know one thing. Our buddy Red's going to be excited this weekend because we have NBA basketball tonight. We got the ponies running tomorrow. We got all kinds of cool stuff going on. Are you more excited about the finals or the ponies?
Well, the finals has kind of got me. I love the ponies, of course. I love the ponies. But the finals, it is the NBA finals. We don't really have a Triple Crown winner, and they don't run the same horses like they used to,
I know it's all screwed up, dude. I didn't realize the Preakness runner wasn't running. And of
Preakness didn't running, and then the Derby didn't run in the Preakness, and vice versa. And so, it's the same horses, not the same horses, the same jockeys and trainers, but they've got new horses out there. I don't even know who's the favorite in the Preakness.
Right now, the favorite is Renegade. And then is Golden Tempo, Renegade, Golden Tempo, Chief Wallaby, Commandment, and that's all I have right now.
Oh, okay. I see Todd Lee running favorites. Again. Okay. I see Chip Honcho. He's running again. Okay. A few of them are running again in the Preakness that ran in the, what was the one before?
The Kentucky Derby.
No, it was the Derby, and then it was the
Preakness. Now it's the Belmont.
The Belmont. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
it's
that
okay.
Was
it's being
Belmont.
Run in Sarasota, so it's kind of screwed up. It's only a 1.25 mile. This race is at 1.5.
Okay. That's right. Okay. They had to go to a different – That's right. But I like the NBA Finals too, Johnny. I mean, Jalen Brunson, he's kind of been one of them dudes that I've liked for a while. And Big – Alfred over there at Half Shell. He's a huge
Knicks fan.
He
was fired up the other night.
His whole life, he was fired up. He's been a Knicks fan, and he said it's been he'll wait if he can get one this year. He said they can win one in 50 more years. He don't care. He just wants one. So
I don't blame him.
But Brunson's a stud. I love him. Brunson's he's a dog. I like that. It's like what I tell my middle school football players. They'll say, Coach Money, he don't like me. It ain't that I don't like you, son. It's just that I like football players. And it's like that. It's like I like basketball players. I like dogs. I like
Josh
guys
Hart.
That compete. Yeah. Josh Hart.
Dude,
I mean,
the guy
what,
goes out there.
Rebounds?
Like, dude is just out there. Had, like, I think a plus 22, the highest point differential of any player on the court that night, I believe. But the dude, I don't know if he scored. I don't think he scored more than maybe two, three points. But he had, like you said, 15 boards, 6 dimes, 4 steals, and a block. I know that stat line.
Hey, that's JYD right there. That's a junkyard dog, and that's what you're always looking for. You got to have them on your team. You got to have a JYD.
Where's the junkyard dog? Kelton Johnson only played 8 minutes. He's been pretty much the junkyard dog, NBA sixth man. He only played, like I said, 8 minutes in that ball game. Do you think that they're going to get try to get KJ a little bit more? Do you think that Dylan Harper might be on the court in the final 3 minutes and play more than 2 minutes in the second half? I mean, the fourth quarter. Like, what do you think the Spurs adjustments and Mitch is going to be tonight?
What, Dylan only played 2 minutes of that fourth quarter?
I believe it was 2 minutes and 30 seconds of the fourth quarter.
Man, he's filling.
Yeah. And they did not play him, even though he had 16 points on 6 of 10 shooting.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Hell, he's been playing fantastic.
Hell, he grabbed 8 boards in game 1. I know that.
Yeah, his assist plus rebounds are over under 6.5 on fan. I thought that was super low.
Damn,
I mean, he's grabbing 8 boards by himself. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't. The kid up here at the office, he told me to get down on that prop bet.
And you can tease it up to like 10 or something for like 3-1. Ooh. But yeah, Dylan's hooping. I can't believe he played 2 minutes of that fourth quarter, and you're in a tight ball game.
That I think that's one of the reasons San Antonio couldn't even get 20 points in that daggum fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did they score 40 points in the second half? Did they even score 40 in the second half?
I don't think so. I think it was 18, and they may have got 20. Maybe they didn't.
That second half, I know one thing. That second half was some of the most poor executed offense that I've seen by a San Antonio Spurs team ever, period, in the discussion. I mean, damn, dude. Go back to, like, when they had even the Twin Towers, when Timmy was a rookie.
Wasn't that inefficient? You're right.
What I'm saying, like, dude, this was very inefficient offense. I mean, they only had 16 assists. They shot 25% from the three-point line, bro. They shot 43 times and hit 11 of them joints.
It's like Jared was just saying, everybody was trying to find their first bag in the finals like that. It happens. I mean, it happens. You know, they just – everybody trying to get themselves acclimated and get the lights a little bit toned down away from being too bright and just get back to, you know, playing and feeling normal basketball.
I will say, though, I think you're going to see it a little bit tonight, though, but I will tell you one thing. I was shocked how few offensive rebounds the New York Knicks were able to get, as poorly as they shot, especially in that first half. Like,
give the Spurs some credit for that.
I'll give them credit for that. That's one thing. You couldn't get – they didn't – I mean, how many offensive rebounds did they have?
Especially when you really don't go big anyway. Mm-hmm. Got a gang rebound. Everybody got to be in on the mix.
Yeah, you just like Josh Hart and Karl Anthony Towns cannot be the only guy. By the way, Mitchell, though, he had what, like 12 minutes or something?
All you really need Mitch to do is just be physical, grab the ball when he sees
best screen I've seen set in a long time. Set
screens, defend. He doing all his ski mask work. He doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Got two dudes putting on ski masks and mugging folks, and Josh Hart and Mitchell Robinson. You got Jalen Brunson, who's the OG out there balling folks. OG stroking threes. I don't know, man. We need Mikal Bridges to. What y'all think about Bridges?
Very quiet.
What did he do?
He had the quietest game for a Knicks win that I can remember in a long time.
He only had nine.
He's going to defend. He ain't got to have nothing drawn up for him.
No.
He's going to play. Dude ain't never missed a game in his career.
Ever. Really?
I didn't know that.
Playoff, regular season, at all.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, he's never missed a game. And this is his second NBA final.
He was plus 11, so he was doing something right out there.
He's doing something positive. You know, he at least on the floor in positive times.
He was That's a Nova right. boy, too, wasn't he?
Huh?
He was a Nova boy, too,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Yeah, them three and Dante.
That's right.
That's right. Damn, that's crazy, man.
I think Jalen and Mikal won two. I think they won two, and then Josh and Dante won just that one.
Mm. All right, man. Who are you going to be betting on tonight?
Well, I can't wait for tonight, Johnny. It's been like I said. I think these NBA playoffs have been good. They were good last year. I like watching some of these young kids play, and like I said, Brunson's a dog. And just remember, Johnny, I don't know your bankroll any more than you know mine. And with that being said, I got to go to the Spurs this time, minus the six. Cool. You know, at home, they got to get one at home, right?
They better get one, buddy.
They better get one at home, or you may get swept like everybody else did. Now, the Knicks, you know that Madison Square Garden is going to be rocking on Monday. I don't care that it's a Monday in New York. I don't care. It's going to be rocking. So you better get you one here at home. And that's what I'm thinking. That in minus six, I think they're begging you to take the Knicks a little bit. So I'm going to go the other way, and I'm going to take the Spurs, and hopefully they can right the ship. And hopefully they can get my man Dylan out there hooping. He's hooping. Let's get him out there.
Get him out there. I'm with you on that one. And again.
So that's who I got. I got the Spurs, Johnny, tonight.
All right, man. We're going to take the Spurs tonight minus the 6.5. Do you have any feel on the total at all? It was a very low-scoring game. Both teams shot like ass, to be honest with you, for an NBA Finals. Defenses were up. You know, again, pressure burst pipes. Everybody gets a little bit tighter. The total dropped to 216.5, not much lower than it was in game one. since it's still sitting up there, you know, 16 and a half points favored over what the final was on Wednesday night, are you leaning over or are you going under?
You know, I think I'm going to lean under again.
Lean under again?
16. I think I'm if I had to lean one way or the other, I'm going to lean under on that. Yeah, just with the minus six, with the Spurs, you know, I like the under there.
You think the Knicks come out and fit? Nah, dude, they just gonna do the Knicks fight.
Well, I thought they kind of come out in the first quarter. They come out in the first quarter, you know, shooting a little bit, and then Brunson took that little, you know, fell into his knee, mm-hmm. and he had to, and then it kind of were stagnant until he kind of got back out there. So that's, if something like that happens again, I mean, I just hope Brunson stays healthy because I sure do love watching him play basketball.
Jay Ham, you're the historian. Is there anybody right now more important to their team than Jalen Brunson in the finals? And I know you can say Victor Wembanyama, but, I mean, it feels like, you know, this is a guy who's scoring like 30 points a damn night.
And it's the Knicks, running, man.
I
can't agree with you. I don't think so.
I think he is the most important. He is the most important player. Man. To anybody's team currently.
And then with the narrative that came behind it, you know, with the signing and the whole deal about it not being working, why would you pay him this, that, and the other? Yeah, he is. I'm rooting for him, too.
And in real life, what is he about? In real life, do you think he's a full 6'2"?
I think he's about 5'11".
Dude is a stud. Hey, man, Money, I'm just so glad I got to talk to you. I'm glad you and the family had a blessed time.
We did. Hey, Johnny, take the Indians on the money line tonight. Parker Messick is pitching, and he's your early Cy Young winner.
Indians tonight in baseball.
Money line, 128. Parker Messick for Cy Young. 6-1 with a 2 ERA.
Let's go, baby. Hey, be easy, Money.
Hey, I'm going to holler at you later, too, Johnny.
Hit me, buddy. I'll see you in a bit. Now, let me also tell you something, folks. This is kind of important. Y'all know what's very important, very, very, very important on a Friday? Having your house ready for you. Do you know what I mean by that? You got to have, I would say, a handle of Tito's. You can get it at $33.99 at your local liquor store. It's the best vodka in the world. It's the number one spirit, period. And again, if life hands you lemons, you don't freak out. You don't fret. You don't stress. You just make a lemon drop. Make sure it's with the best. That's Tito's Handmade Vodka. For Jared, for Jay, I'm John. Y'all get out there. Make that world a better place. I'll see y'all on the flip side. Peace.
Be sure to download our Hub 901 app for instant access to Sports 56 and all the Flynn Broadcasting stations from anywhere. Go to the App Store and get the Hub 901 app today.